trigger warning. This podcast is intended for men, not boys, not babies, men.
This is how we disable toxic masculinity.
We need to kill all men.
This pagan patriarchalism that is coming back out of the shadows.
Feminists hate patriarchy.
It's the woman that runs the show and the woman that runs the community and is the backbone of their area.
I'm a nasty woman. A loud, vulgar, proud woman.
Patriarchy.
You are male privilege.
Are you saying you have authority over me? Go eat your superior!
I personally can't see why egalitarianism would be a bad thing.
The assumption that wives should make babies instead of money is part of the patriarchy.
Don't f***ing say hi to strange women you don't know.
Patriarchy.
The patriarchy.
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 A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. And that is Proverbs chapter 14, verse 16. You are on the Fight Laugh Feast Network, and you are listening to The Patriarchy. My name is Tony DePani, and I am joined by my co-host, Pastor Joseph Randall Spurgeon.
Woman, get back in here and make me a sandwich.
Joseph, what kind of sandwich are you eating today?
Well, Tony, here's the sandwich. It's actually a special sandwich. It's called a Corona sandwich.
Oh, great.
And here's what it is. So it's a Corona sandwich. It doesn't have any bread because there's no bread in the grocery stores.
This is true.
And it doesn't have any meat because there was no meat in the grocery stores.
Okay.
And so that's the Corona sandwich.
Okay. That's
good news. It won't cause a problem coming out, so I won't need toilet paper.
Oh, gross. Yeah, well, there's no toilet paper either, so depending on the state that you're in.
Yeah, so that's my sandwich for today.
Nice. Well, my sandwich isn't too interesting. I had it's another turkey sandwich, but it was a different kind. It was a like honey glazed turkey. And Swiss cheese and some mustard. And it was on toasted, I don't know if it was Italian bread. Could have been Italian bread. I think it was Italian bread. It was good. It was kind of like a deli sandwich, I guess.
Man, that sounds really good. So your wife also keeps bees?
She keeps bees. Yeah. Yeah, she harvested all the honey herself and glazed that turkey. We keep turkeys too, apparently, right?
Yes. Every week I'm just impressed, so impressed by what your wife does.
Me too. If she listened to this, she'd probably be impressed by it too. Tell her, listen to those last couple episodes. You don't even know what you don't know, what you're learning.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, I think we have at least something kind of chuckle-worthy, I guess you could say.
Feminist Freakout of the Week.
This freakout comes to us from Polished Jaded on Twitter. And she says, every system in the U.S. is about to fail because every system is built against caregiving. Caregiving was always supposed to exist outside of the workplace, handled by an army of unpaid women that no longer exists. This isn't just a disaster of capitalism, it's patriarchy.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, yeah. I think she wanted that to sound way more epic than it actually does.
So, the patriarchy, the coronavirus, is all, it's a result of the patriarchy.
Yeah, if you read enough tweets, if you look, here's a fun thing you can do if you really have nothing better to do and hate your life. Go on Twitter and search for coronavirus and the word patriarchy together and then just read. You might need toilet paper, but unfortunately you can't find any.
Well, they'll mostly be throwing up, so it won't be.
This is true. It's mouth diarrhea. I'm sorry if I gross people out, but that's what it is.
Yes. Thankfully, we already did the sandwich segment first.
Yeah, there you go.
So she's like, caregiving was supposed to be handled by an unpaid army of women, and that army no longer exists. And so I'm wondering, how is that a result of the patriarchy?
Well, everything just gets blamed on the patriarchy, but the logic there doesn't even doesn't really go, because now women are paid because they're out of the home. So I guess it begs the question, what actually ruined the caregiving? Because patriarchy would prefer that our wives and mothers stay home and be wives and mothers and take care of their home and their children and love their kids and raise them right. And not venture out into these, CEO, long-term career things where it takes them away and replaces the home with, a career that's about making money and stuff, And yet feminism wants them to do that. But it sort of seems like that's what they did. And then now there's no caregiving.
And what's interesting is you might make an argument, Tony, that the coronavirus is the patriarchy, because now women are having to stay home with their children because they're being forced to homeschool.
Well, yeah, I guess that's one way to look at it.
So I guess the coronavirus is the patriarchy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sure. Well, there are some people on Twitter that said that. I've read that. I don't know that really? They quite made that particular logic out of it. Although, I mean, it's Twitter, so logic is chiefly not in any of the tweets on Twitter. But I don't think they went that route.
Yeah, it's interesting that as this virus and all the response that's happening around us happens, how people are responding with nonsense. For example, the same person that tweeted this, but I saw this tweet that we're talking about, also tweeted that we need to make sure to take the time now to do away with regulation laws on abortion. And not for the reason that you and I, Tony, would want to do away with the regulation laws. They were thinking we need to make it more accessible. And there are actually several articles about abortion access being under threat as the coronavirus spreads. So chalk one up for the coronavirus.
Yeah. Well, I think we put the cap back on that corona.
But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The response here of what's going on is it's multifaceted. And one of the things I've been thinking about is even how Christians have responded to this thing is with either skepticism on one hand, panic on another, or conspiracy theories. And it's just interesting how not only I guess Christians respond this way, everybody kind of responds, has these kind of several response, either panicking, freaking out, this is going to be the worst thing ever, or an idea that this is some conspiracy to start the new world order and bring in socialism.
Yeah, you kind of get the tinfoil hat folks that think everything's a conspiracy, and this kind of just gives them another excuse for that. And I'm not saying there aren't legitimate conspiracies in the world at times, but not everything is a conspiracy that happens. And then you get the other people that I think and maybe this is some of the tinfoil hat people too, but what I've been seeing that's hard to watch is even Christians that are, they're kind of getting into that revolutionary mode just because there happens to be a particular decision that they don't exactly agree with. And I'm not necessarily talking about, we could kind of talk about all this here, but there's the one governor, I think it's in Illinois, am I right? The one who basically issued something about disarming folks and whatnot, or banning gun sales. I can't remember what it was. It was something to do with guns and bullets and whatnot and ammo. But that, I guess we could talk about that. I mean, that's kind of I'd say that's certainly a bad decision. I think that might be taking advantage of the situation, but not every governor is. People act like every governor that makes a decision is making that kind of decision just because they're saying you know, don't go out in groups of more than 10 or whatever the number is in your state. I think it's 10 where I am right now.
Well, yeah. So we're there's, on one hand, there's this idea that like somehow there's this nefarious plot and that the coronavirus was is either made up. It's not serious or it was created by our government for the very purpose of taking away our liberties. Mm-hmm. And so there's this group of people pushing these things. On the other hand, though, would be a blind trust of everything that civil government does and every supposed expert out there.
Right.
You got to remember, some of these experts have been very similar or the same people crying wolf for a long time on global warming or climate change, global cooling, whatever we're at now.
Yeah.
So I understand the skepticism in our civil government, right? I'm very skeptical. It's not, I'm not a statist. I'm opposed to government intervention in the economy in lots of ways. I'm not a libertarian, so I'm not always opposed in every sense. I think there are certain ways that God has given to the civil government. Point being is, Tony, there's enough going on that we don't need a giant conspiracy to think about it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There are people that are, maybe they're sinners, they're pagans, yet they're not operating from necessarily a nefarious mindset in the decisions that they're making. They may not be operating in the most wise way. They may not be operating according to God's law at times, but I think we would be hard pressed to say that every one of these officials is in some kind of nefarious plot.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I like I was saying, I mean, I used that kind of severe example in Illinois because that one doesn't make sense. That one seems a little more than it should be. But like you have other governors, like I said, they've made decisions if they want to close down, I don't know, you know, restaurants or for a period of time, or like I said, limiting how many people are in groups and whatnot. And you may or may not agree with that, but that at least to me, I can at least look at that decision and listen to it and go, I can at least see how they arrived at that. You know, like reasonably, I can see how they arrived at that. So I don't automatically ascribe terrible motives to the majority of what's going on. I may not agree with all of them. I think that some of them aren't the best decisions at times, but I also don't think they're some grand conspiracy, nefarious plot.
But there are people, Tony, that are attempting to take advantage in this time, mm-hmm. right? There would yep. certainly be politicians that see this as an opportunity to push through their favorite programs.
That's what I was talking about, that governor of Illinois. I mean, that's a prime example of somebody who's absolutely has an agenda and is trying to push it through. My point was just not every single governor in the nation is trying to do what that particular governor is trying to do.
The other day I read a story complaining that the Republicans were trying to remove abortion access. And really the actual story was that Nancy Pelosi tried to put into the bill.
Yeah.
The first bill.
I heard that.
A bunch of stuff to promote abortion.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so we have to be diligent, you know, as citizens who have a say, who get the vote, who are in our country, the government is by the people and for the people. And so we need to be diligent at this, but I don't think we need to respond with conspiracy theories.
Well, it certainly doesn't help other people around us as well. I mean, I constantly sitting back and trying to figure out this grand conspiracy and how it's all connected and all of that. Is not really, I mean, even if there is some, I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying, hypothetically, even if there is some, not really going to help much right now. I think what's going to help more is trying to help people calm down and trying. I mean, at the end of last week's episode, it's kind of what, if you're listening and you heard that, that's kind of my point, is that right now, you know, last week's episode was on being fathers and brothers and sons, and that we need to actually live that out, and we need to look after our neighbors, and we need to actually interact with them and ask them, hey, I'm going to the store. Do you need anything? I mean, I was saying last week, I have elderly people in my road, and we're going to go try and ask, hey, do you need us to pick you up anything? I mean, right now, we need to be trying to figure out how do we help our neighbors, how do we show Christ to them, and how do we help calm people down? Because the more panic that ensues, that's not going to help anything. It's going to make everything worse.
Absolutely. And, you know, we even if it was, let's say it's the worst conspiracy, George Soros is behind it, and and Bill Gates, and it's, there really is a small cabal of people. They engineered this virus, and they're using it to take away all our liberties. Even if that's true, is Lord Jesus Christ King?
Amen.
He is, and he reigns. And what these people may do and could do, they cannot outmaneuver God. They cannot outmaneuver him. All their plotting would be in vain. Why would the nations plot in vain, right? Against the king. You can't throw off his fetters. Jesus reigns. And that's the message we as Christians need to remember, and as men, that Jesus is in control right now. And no harm can befall his people that he does not sovereignly allow. And when he sovereignly allows it, it is for their good and their benefit. There is great comfort to be had in that. So, Tony, we've been kind of skirting around, hitting around the issue that we're wanting to talk about here, which is how should men respond now? What should men do throughout this? And then maybe once it's over, looking forward into the future for other circumstances and situations, how might we respond?
Well, I think you and I were talking before, and I mean, what did I say? I said there's a difference between preparedness and panic. And I think that even during a time like this, I think we all probably can learn something about ourselves and probably can learn how prepared we really are versus maybe how prepared we thought we were. And that may panic some people, you know, that, and then you have to kind of curb that down and make sure that you're not, you know, giving into that. But, you know, as far as how to respond to it, I think there's nothing wrong with going out and stocking up on some stuff. And I say, and again, I said some of this last week, I say stocking up, not hoarding. Because like I said, nobody needs 28, 29, 30 packs of toilet paper.
You don't know, man, this,
well, I guess if you stocked up on like tacos or something, you know, maybe you might need that, yeah. But see, there you go. That'll teach you something about yourself. What, you know, you need to be careful what you stock up on, you know, if you got nothing but canned beans, you know, out in the pantry. And
all I got is Vienna sausages, man.
Yeah. And but I mean, just thinking through, what you're going to do. And I think it's a difference between, reacting and planning. I think that's a big deal. And that's something I've been really trying to practice right now, especially with my family. And so, you know, when I first, I was actually in a meeting, when our governor in Ohio, announced that, he was going to shut schools down for 3 weeks, I think was the initial announcement. And it was, I want to say it was like mid-afternoon, something like that. And I knew people were going to panic. Not like riot in the streets panic, but I knew they were going to go to the grocery stores. Like I just knew that was going to happen. They had already been buying toilet paper en masse. And again, I have no idea what transpired between the CDC saying, wash your hands and don't touch your face, and everyone's like, let's go buy all the toilet paper. I have no idea. But that would already happen. So I had texted my wife and said, hey, you know, you should go out to the store and just buy some stuff that we need. You know, buy some bread, buy some, if you could find hand sanitizer, stuff like that. And she and I had a little bit of a back and forth. And again, difference between men and women. And she was like, well, I want to go after dinner. And I said, right now the kids are still in school. Like not our kids. Our kids are at home. But the majority of kids were in school. And So their parents probably got the news. They're waiting for the kids to come home, and or their kids are on their way home. And most likely, they're probably going to eat dinner, and then they're going to go out to the grocery stores and buy a bunch of stuff. So I wanted to make sure my wife got there before then. I wanted to make sure she was safe, because sometimes people get nasty, you know, when they stuff is in short supply. I mean, I don't know the age of a lot of our listeners, but I remember even when I was a kid, the Tickle Me Elmo. I remember seeing news like casts of people just like getting in fist fights because there weren't enough Tickle Me Elmos at Christmas time. And I mean, that's a toy, you know, that's a toy. I mean, now we're talking about maybe not having enough like bread and food, you know? So again, I was not panicking. And she even said to me, I thought you said last night not to panic. And I said, yeah, I did. And I'm not panicking. I mean, I'm not telling you to panic, but people will panic. Mm-hmm. And we need to go out and make sure we're prepared. And I want you to go out before they go out so that, you know, she's not out in the store. And, you know, and I would go later and maybe get some other things. I even got a couple things today. And again, not hoarding, but getting enough stuff to last you through like a month or something like that. That's reasonable. It's even what the CDC says. And I happen to agree with them on that. But even in that, I took it slow in my head because I also had to think about how's my wife, how's my kids, how are they going to react to this, and how are they even going to react to what I'm telling them to do. So for instance, I said to my wife, you should go out and get Tylenol and children's Tylenol. And then I gave her a bunch of other things to get too, you know, some bread, some canned goods, things that aren't going to go bad, things that keep for a long time, things you can freeze. And I didn't tell her why I said children's Tylenol. Now, some people listening may already know, but you know, the chief ingredient in Tylenol is actually something they said is good to use as far as anti-inflammatory for coronavirus in particular, because apparently ibuprofen doesn't react well with it. But I also thought to myself, if the kids happen to get sick and got a fever, there might be a waiting, you know, line at the hospital. And I would want to give them something to help, you know, curb that fever so it didn't get too bad. And obviously, I didn't say that to my wife right away. Like, you need to go to the store and you need to get children's Tylenol in case our kids get coronavirus and we have to go to the hospital and be triaged. And, you know, like, I didn't do that. I just said, go to the store and get children's Tylenol. And even when she came back, we were talking and she said, you told me to get children's Tylenol in case the kids got it, didn't you? And I said, yeah. And she said, I didn't think about that until I got back. And I said, yeah, and I didn't tell you that because I didn't want you to panic, because there's no reason to, but you can be prepared. So on my end, that was a little few things that I even kind of was learning as I went, which is to not just think about how to get stuff we need, but also how to take care of my wife and how to take care of my kids and make sure that not only am I calm, but I'm keeping them calm. And sometimes that means you don't tell them everything in the moment, and then you tell them later. I know some people out there are probably going to freak out because they're thinking I'm keeping things from my wife. I didn't keep things indefinitely. I just didn't want her to freak out, you know? I mean, it was a big deal. She's at the house. She didn't really get any of the news because she's with the kids all day. And so she was really only kind of learning more about what was going on kind of after the fact. And so that's, you know, you already, all of a sudden you hear there's a virus out there and people have died in other countries, and I don't need to lump onto that, you know, go get children's Tylenol in case the kids get it.
Yeah. I think another thing that as men we can do is, as you've said, not to be reactionary, but to be proactive. Mm-hmm. And I think there are opportunities here for us in this time. And we ought to look forward for ways to take the opportunities. So some of you men may end up being working from home, and take the opportunity while you're home. Do your work, but bring your kid along. Let them watch. Or here's opportunity to start family worship. You're in the home. It's time to start family worship. Right. This is a wonderful opportunity for us to repent. Right. God has sent this. This is regardless of who humanly is responsible or not responsible. God is sent this. And when these type of things happen, we would be remiss to say, well, this is for this particular sin. But we would also be remiss to say, this is not a call to be reminded to repent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The book of Joel, written to God's people by the prophet Joel during a time when God sent a locust plague to them, destroyed all their crops. The economy was down in the hole and people were dying. You can't get much closer than where we're at now. It's not locusts, but it's, you know what I'm talking about. Like, yeah, our economy is tanking.
Yeah.
Things are going bad. And Joel reminded the people, you need to cry out to the Lord. You need to look to him. And who knows? He might relent and give you fresh bread and oil and care. And that's where we're at, man. We need to take the time, men, to lead our families and our churches and those around us to repentance. 2 Chronicles verse chapter 20 talks about this too. It says, should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, talking about the temple, and cry to you in our distress, and you will hear us and deliver us. God's people are to respond to God's work, God's sovereignty, whether it's to pestilence or just to good things. We respond both. Now is the perfect opportunity to lead our families in a time of repentance and prayer, lead our churches in that. And maybe you can't actually meet in your church has decided to call off services. Still, the church is not closed just because they're not having services. The church are the people. You should be reaching out and calling your church. Maybe call your pastors and say, what are we doing to show repentance? What are we doing to cry out to the Lord here? I think it's an important time for us to recognize that's part of leading. That's part of not panicking. That's part of being proactive. God has sent this, then this, we ought to repent. Other aspects of being proactive are, this is a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel to your neighbors,
mm-hmm.
an opportunity to show, as you said, not panic, but prepared this. And not to not fall in the ditch of blind trust of the civil government and reliance on them, or a conspiracy theory mindset that just kind of blows this all off as like, oh, this is nothing, right? Regardless of how serious the actual virus is, it is something because the economy is going to be tanking, right? People are losing jobs. This is impacting every single one of us. And so we need to stand on the word of God, not fearing what this world fears, and being proactive in showing that we are a people that have great joy, even in the midst of tribulation.
I think part of it too is, and this is something like I was talking about, I have a lot of elderly people that live on my road. And, you know, not only were we trying to think of, you know, how can we help them in terms of, you know, stopping by and saying, hey, we're going to go to the store. Do you need us to get you anything? But even just trying to think down the line as far as not using the things we have and blowing through it, you know, just because we have it, but thinking, you know, for later, like how, because there's going to be, well, okay, I don't know for sure, but depending on how long this goes, because we don't know how long it's going to go. We don't know what the public reaction is going to be, but there's going to come a point possibly that there's going to be people that weren't prepared and continue to not be prepared. And as believers, we can't just go, oh, sucks to be you. You know, like we have to still come alongside them and they're still our neighbors and take care of them. And I'm not saying just give things to people that are going to waste it, but you know what? This is something we've never seen. You know, this is new. We've never seen this kind of a viral scare or whatever you want to call it, at least in my lifetime, at least in our lifetime. I know there's been other things that, you know, like every 2 years for the past decade or two, they've told us something was going to kill us. You know, H1N1, the swine flu, the whatever, the mad cow disease, you know, all that stuff. But this one is kind of different. I mean, at least in the reaction, right? I mean, I don't really know one way or another the severity, if it's as severe as they say it is or not as severe, but that's another talk. But what I do know is that the public reaction to this is way more severe than all those other things I just mentioned. And so people, for better or for worse, are not going to react rightly to it, whether they're going to overreact or whether they're going to underreact. And I do think that we should be prepared that somewhere down the line, we may have to help some people too. And we need to just understand that you just got to kind of swallow your pride in that, you know, if you were prepared enough and they weren't, and just help them.
And you may be the person listening is like, I'm not prepared at all. And you might need to ask help.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's swallowing pride as well. Recognizing, yep, I was not prepared and this hit me and I'm going to need help. And don't be too prideful.
Yeah. And I'd say to you, if you're listening and you haven't gone out and got things for yourself and your family, you should go out. Actually, you should just pause this episode and go out. And I'm not saying go panic, but it's every day that goes by, there's more things that get missing from the shelf and they may or not get replenished. Who knows? And you may at this point, because you waited around too long, you part of swallowing that pride may have to be, you may have to go to 3 or 4 stores to get what you're looking for. So don't grumble about it and don't gripe and complain. I mean, you waited. So, but just, you know, go to 2, 3, 4 stores and get what you need and be smart about it. You know, don't waste your money on stuff that you don't actually need to get. Get things that are, I think a good idea is to get canned goods, get, you know, rice, get pastas and boxes and stuff, things that can go on a shelf and be there for a long time, or bread that you can freeze. I have a well, so I don't have to worry about the water at the moment, but you may need to get some water.
So the key is we want to encourage you to be prepared as much as you can now without panicking. Want you to take this as an opportunity to share the gospel, opportunity to show the peace of Jesus Christ, reliance on him, knowing that he takes care of his people, and also an opportunity to repent, right? God has sent this to us, and my prayer is that we will use it, right? This will be an opportune time that people will repent and look to Jesus rather than being mockers and scoffers and relying totally on themselves. This is a time to rely on Christ. And I think if we do that, men, we can lead our families and encourage them and be an encouragement to others around us.
And as we wrap up this episode, I think the only thing I want to leave you with is just be careful with your reactions to this, you know, in every way. Be careful you don't underreact. Be careful you don't overreact. Be careful how you react to people that react differently from you. Be careful how you react to the decisions of the government, decisions of churches, decisions of other Christians and families. This is a time to just be very careful that we're not acting in knee-jerk reactions, but we're taking the time to think through this and realizing this is a new situation for pretty much everybody right now. Nothing we've seen before, and it's a great opportunity for all of the things we've talked about to improve on and to do in this episode. So if you like this episode and you love our show and you want to support us, yes, even in times like this, go to fightlaughfeast.com, click to sign up to become a member, and use the code PATRIARCHY when you do. It gets you access to behind-the-scenes content, extra materials, some goodies in the mail, depending on the level you sign up for. But it does go to support our show and support this network and continue to keep bringing you the kind of content that you're hearing here and on the other shows in this network. So go to fightlaughfeast.com, click to sign up to become a member, and use the code PATRIARCHY when you do to support our show. So until next time, if you have not yet bowed your knee to Christ, repent and believe. And if you have, this is our call to you. Build, fight, protect, lead. This is the Patriarchy.